The first reading for today comes from John 19, 25 to 27. That is from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, the second part of verse 25 through verse 27. You can find that on page 114 in the New Testament in the Pew Bible in front of you. Listen now and hear God's word to you today. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. This endeth the first reading.
Scripture is absolutely filled with examples where mothers play the lead role or are metaphors for something that are that is lasting and also very, very strong. We're going to look at a couple of those examples today, and both reflect primarily this driving desire that may be in every parent, but I think we see it more, at least visibly, we see more visibly in mothers especially, this driving desire to protect their children. That's kind of what we're going to be looking at primarily is the way in which the scripture examples that we are going to use, we find this innate understanding that protecting their children is one of the primary things in their lives. Our scriptures speak actually of two mothers, one who is Mary by the side of Jesus that we just heard. And the other is more of a figurative mother, one who biologically probably was not. At least Scripture doesn't say whether she was or not. But in chapter 5 of Judges, calls her the mother of Israel. The mother of Israel. And today we're going to read about these two moms who protect and defend their children. Let's turn now to the Judges chapter 4. Verses 4 through 10. Judges chapter 4, verses 4 through 10. We're going to be reading about the story of Deborah. And this is just a little snippet of the story of Deborah. I really encourage you to read all of chapter 4 and 5, which has the whole story on who she is and what she did in her life. Starting at verse 4. Chapter 4 of Judges. At that time, Deborah, a prophetess, wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel. And she used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kedesh in Naphtali. That's why you wanted me to read that, huh, George? Okay. And said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take position at Mount Tabor, bringing 10,000 from the tribe of Naphtali and the tribe of Zebulun. And I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the Wadi Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand." And Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I'm not going to go." And she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah got up and went with Barak to Kedesh. And Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali to Kedesh, and 10,000 warriors went up behind him. And Deborah went up with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we do come before you now. We ask you that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that they would be worthy and acceptable to your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, on this Mother's Day, we do give thanks to God for our own mothers who have shaped us and really pretty much made us who we are in so many different ways, from the time that we were growing up to even today. Who we are has been created in many ways by who our mothers are. And what I want you to do right now, just for a moment, is that just think of a great, great memory of your mom. Just one. I know there are probably a flood of them that come to you. Just think of what one great memory of your mom. When I did that in preparation for this sermon, I first of all realized that I am very, very blessed because my mom is still living, and so those memories continue to evolve and continue to almost replicate among themselves. But as the youngest of four boys, I was always with my mom as we drove my brothers to their basketball games and to their tennis matches throughout the summers especially. It would just be the two of us, and for hours as we drove all over New Jersey, we would talk and talk and talk. And she would call me her little psychologist. She spoiled me rotten. And I am absolutely proud to be called a mama's boy. I am. I am a mama's boy, and there's no two ways about it. That's a good thing, by the way. But there's something about moms that is very, very different than dads. I'm not saying it's better, dads, okay? I'm just saying it's different. I don't know anyone who ever got a tattoo that says dad. That would just be a little weird. That would just be a little unusual. But plenty of people get tattoos that say mom, and it's okay. And it's something that is a sign of their love for their mom. Now, in our Old Testament reading, we read about Deborah, who, for me, is the absolute template. Not just a mom, and not just a woman, but any person who's going to be a follower of our Almighty God. An incredible example of what we ought to strive for. Some say it's a little unusual in Scripture to have a woman play the type of role that Deborah plays, because normally what's lifted up are the other types of roles that women play. But here's a woman who's been mobilized by God, and then in fact becomes one who mobilizes others as well. Especially as a father of three daughters, I see these types of stories and I hunger for them. And I want to lift them up sometimes more than any other stories in Scripture. She has, though, become one of my heroes. And I think that's in stark contrast to those who would possibly read Scripture in a way to limit what women can and can't do. She is one of the few women of Scripture who is known not because of what her husband did, or not because of what her kids did, but because of who she is and what she does as a woman and also as a mother. And while today our main focus is that these moms in Scripture provide us with a near-perfect image of our protective and loving God, we're also going to look at this Scripture and see how that attributes reflects God in our lives as well. So, moms, this sermon, absolutely, I hope you're able to draw from it and take courage from it. But it's not just for you. It's for all of us. Deborah is not a figure in the Bible just for women. Okay, she's a figure in the Bible for all of us. Someone who showed really what it means to be a true follower of Almighty God. So let's look at her life. Let's look at some of the places, well, the one place in Scripture where she's mentioned, which is Judges chapter 4. And we're going to look at three specific attributes that Deborah contains that are going to kind of be attributes that we're going to hopefully be able to aspire to have reflected in our lives as well. So the three attributes are: she's called a prophet. That's the first. The second is she's a judge. And the third is she's a warrior. A prophet, a judge, and a warrior. So let's set the stage. Israel, at this time, This is before the kings came along. So well before King Saul, well before David. The patriarchs had just lived and they had just entered into the promised land, and Joshua had just finished ruling over all of Israel, and the Israelites are pretty restless because they look around and they see all these other nations and they have kings. And Israel prays and says, God, we need to have a king. And God says, you're not ready for a king. In fact, if you have a king, you're going to end up worshiping that person instead of worshiping me like all the other people around you are doing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a judge. And this person is going to kind of help you, give you advice, give you counsel, give you wisdom. But they're not going to be the ones who are really in charge. I'm still in charge. That's the way God kind of responded to that. So one of the first judges, one of the first people that God puts to give advice and counsel to the entire nation of Israel is Deborah. She's one of the first. And so she sets up and she's given a very, very clear responsibility. You've heard of Samson and Delilah. You've heard of Gideon. You've heard of other judges. Those are both judges. Well, Deborah was one of those judges. That was her role. That was her responsibility. And we read that what happens after every single judge, and this is no different before Deborah, is that all the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of God. And because that happens, then God has to put someone in control. And in verse 1 in chapter 4, if you go back to your scripture, you'll see in verse 1, and this is repeated over and over and over again in Judges, it says that the Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So Deborah is put in place in order to counter that reality, in order to counter the fact that the Israelites are doing evil in the sight of God. So along comes Deborah. And the first thing we hear is that she is the wife of Lapidoth. So before we get to the three attributes of her, we read that she's the wife of Lapidoth. Now you need to know that in the Hebrew, this is very debated, at least now. It wasn't years and years ago. It was just assumed that that's what it said, the wife of Lapidoth. If you take that phrase, wife of Lapidoth, in the Hebrew, it can also mean she was a bearer of torches. You know the phrase, a torchbearer? Mm-hmm. Someone who leads the way? That's kind of where we get it from, sort of, kind of. But literally in the Hebrew, that can be a bearer of torches. Well, what in the world does that mean? If you look in Zechariah, if you look in other passages in the Old Testament, a person who bore a torch, are they going to be in the back of the line or are they going to be in the front? They're going to be in the front. They were the leaders. They were the ones who were given that title as the ones who were supposed to be overseeing people, who were supposed to be leading. So my personal, and I'm not the only one, others see this as well, instead of wife of Lapidoth, it should read, there was Deborah who was a bearer of torches, who was a leader, who was the one that the people of Israel looked to in order to see the light. All right, we're not going to talk about light. That's three Sundays in a row. But that's who she was. She was someone who was out there in the front, in the lead, making sure that other people were following behind her. We never hear in Scripture about whether she had children or not. We don't know if she was a biological mother. But she was called in chapter 5, when there's the song of Deborah and Barak, she is called the mother of Israel. The mother of Israel. That's in verse 7 in chapter 5. What a great title. What a great title. So let's look at verse 4 as we look at these three attributes which really give her that title of the mother of Israel. Why is she called the mother of Israel? And these are the reasons why. First of all, she's described as a prophetess. Someone who spoke and advised on God's word and not just on her own. In case you're wondering, it's not unusual in the Old Testament to have a prophetess. to have a woman who is speaking God's word. We find, in fact, Miriam, Moses' sister, is called the prophetess. We find also Huldah helped out King Josiah as a prophetess. You also have a bad prophetess, Noadiah, who spoke against Nehemiah. In Jesus' day, do y'all remember Anna, who was in the temple? The very first person who was able to recognize Jesus as the Messiah, she's described as a prophetess as well. So as a prophet, Deborah is not afraid to speak about God's word. And her words, she knows, has been given to her by God. So I think in many ways, Deborah is an example to moms everywhere of the important role that moms play in raising their children up in God's word. It's one of the most important things that moms can do, is make sure your kids read Scripture. Or read Scripture to your kids so that it's not something that's unusual to them. And it's not too late to start now. And you can blame me. I'll be the bad guy. If they're not real excited about it, you can say, Pastor Bob said I had to do this. Do it. I remember growing up, before every meal, my mom would read us a passage of Scripture. That was pretty powerful. I think that planted a seed that I didn't even realize what was going on, but I know when I came to know Christ, those Scriptures came flooding back to me. And it all of a sudden made sense. It made sense. Do that with your kids. Do that with your grandkids. What a great example, I think, Deborah is as a prophetess, as a woman whose word of God, that the word of God was always on her lips. The second is, she was a judge. She was a judge. Today's scripture tells us that from all over Israel, she would sit under a tree and they would all come to get advice and insight from her. She's the only judge who does this in the entire book of Judges. All the other judges were warriors. They didn't hold counsel like Deborah does. Deborah's kind of seen like all the good attributes that a lawyer has. That's what she was. She was someone who could sit and people could come and she could decide and they would leave knowing, okay, this is what I have to do. Some scholars are embarrassed by the fact that she is given that title and is given that role of a judge. One that I read, in fact, said, you know, mother in Israel, that doesn't really apply to her. It applies to someone else. But that's who she was. And I think being a judge really gave her that role as well. She could tell her children God's word as a prophetess, and her children would come to her for guidance and advice. I pray and I hope that your kids and your grandkids are able to do that. I know that once they get in the teenage years, that doesn't always happen. But I think later on in life, it changes. With me, that happened, I know. As a teenager, I didn't need my mom's advice. I knew what was best. But then when I got older, I recognized, and it took me literally, I think, a week in college by myself to realize, you know, she knew what she was talking about, didn't she? I'm a quick learner. Her final attribute, Deborah's final attribute, is that of a warrior. So, Mom, see yourself as a prophetess, as a judge. Thanks, Dad, for taking. No. Mom, you can stay. No, it's okay.
That's fine.
The final attribute is that of a warrior. She called her general, and her general's name is Barak. I just made that connection when I was reading it in Scripture. That's the name of our president. I didn't realize that until I didn't know that's where his name came from. Did you know that? No comment. But I literally just noticed that, and I wanted to share that with you.
I'm not going there. I'm not.
But did you notice his response to her. I mean, it's a very simple request. Very simple request. She's the leader of the country. She says to her general, "We are going to go into battle. You will take 10,000 men, and you will conquer Sisera, who's our arch enemy. God put it on my heart that this is what's going to happen, and don't worry, you will win the battle." Do you see what he says? If he didn't, look at it. Verse 8. This is insubordination. He says, "I will go into battle only if you go first." Okay? Now, that's not the way you respond to your... I've never served in the military, but I'm just guessing. You would not respond that way to your superior officer. Or else you'd find yourself in the doghouse. Serious, serious doghouse. But she knows what to do. She goes, "All right." Three times in this scripture, it states that Deborah accompanied Barak. Three times it shows us that she was not going to let him feel as if she was just a girl. You know? "I'm a warrior too. I'll go into battle with you. I'll show you that the words that God put upon my heart don't just apply to you, but apply to all the nation of Israel. And I have so much confidence and trust in God that I'm going to lead us. I'm going to be that torchbearer even into battle." One of the most unsettling images I had when I went to Israel, and I wasn't really prepared for it the first time I went, was seeing the soldiers with machine guns. I was prepared for that. I've been to plenty of countries where you have soldiers out on the streets with machine guns. But it's the first time in my life where I saw women with machine guns standing right next to the men. That was unsettling. That was the image of a female warrior that I didn't want to have in my mind. But I got it. And that's what we find here also in Judges. And she goes ahead. And because Barak made that comment, she goes, "We're going to win, but you will not have the final glory as most generals have of capturing and killing the other general." In fact, a woman's going to do that. And if you read later on in the scripture, it's a very, very gruesome tale of how Jael nails Sisera. Literally. Takes a tent peg and drives it through his temple into the ground. Yeah. She does. And that's what she tells Barak, that's what's going to happen. Now, women today have to be warriors for their children. Absolutely. I went to Bethany's basketball game yesterday. It was near Reading. And there was a woman sitting next to me. She was a mom of one of the girls on the other team, and she almost got kicked out of the gym. I mean, she was loud and just not... I had to move because I was afraid I was going to get kicked out of the gym. But that's not really what I'm talking about when I'm talking about a warrior for your children. I mean, her intentions, I'm sure, were good. But Jesus' last words on the cross, that the very first scripture that we read... His last words are, yes, to ensure that his mom is taken care of. But something that I think we miss in that scripture is the fact that his mom is right there at the foot of the cross while he's undergoing the most painful, the last moments of his life. That sense of protecting her child is so strong that there's no way that you're going to drag her away from the foot of that cross. You know, Deborah is given the title of mother because of her tremendous achievements, not because of her biological status. As I said, we don't even know if she had children, but what a great example Deborah is for all women. And as I said earlier, what a great example Deborah is for all of us.
She is a woman who portrays a potential and ability for all women to speak, to make decisions, to lead. And I think sometimes many women get lost on Mother's Day because they're not biological moms. But what we find in the church and what we find in society is that they have been those who aren't afraid to speak the word of God, those who are not afraid to judge and give counsel, those who are not afraid to protect children. You've heard of mothers against drunk driving, right, Mad? Have you ever heard of FAD? No, I haven't either. But it's the moms who normally rise up to protect their kids. And the church has traditionally been the place where they have made their voices heard. I remember when we were missionaries in Italy, we relied a lot upon women's groups for all sorts of stuff. They sent quilts and other necessities that we couldn't necessarily get on the mission field. This church does that. Women were always allowed to be missionaries and to lead on the mission field long before they were able to lead in churches. In our First Presbyterian Church, the women's circles have always been a place of fellowship and influence in the church of life, in the life of the church. The women have always personified what it means to be the mother of the church in their leadership roles. And this church is filled with women who have God's words upon their hearts, who aren't afraid to share it with us and those around us. This church is filled with women who are leaders. Don't shy away from leading in the church. And this church, I know, is filled with warriors. Warriors who champion our kids in Sunday school and in preschool and on and on. Take up the cause of the children in the church as a mission and as warriors. So, sisters, you can look to Deborah as a role model for guidance and support. If one ever doubts that you can be involved in all levels of the church, know that God has called you to be the mother of the church. Amen. Almighty God, we do come before you, and we thank you, all of us, men and women, moms and dads, for Deborah, a woman who personifies for us the wonderful example and the wonderful presence that you are in our lives. Almighty God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, lived on this earth so that all of our sins could be forgiven and washed clean. And as we live our lives day in and day out, you give us tremendous examples in Scripture. And one of them is Deborah, that show us how to live on a daily basis. So now, Lord, we ask for a special blessing on this Sunday for moms and women's in this sanctuary and in this church, that you will protect them and keep them, that you will motivate them, give them energy, and help them, Lord, to always step out in faith and confidence. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.